So I thought I'd start out this chapter two with lyrics from a song. They say, "Are you sad? Are you holding yourself locked in your room? You shouldn't be." Those lyrics come from a band that you may know. If you do, you can put it in the comments, I guess, or say it out loud, or in your head. But the band is Our Lady Peace, and the song titled, coincidentally, is Are You Sad? It's from their Spiritual Machines album that they did in 2001. So in the first kind of audio vlog that I did, I mentioned that one of the things that I found that gave me happiness or could put me in a world of my own that I understood was music. And that's true. I mean, for some people, it's music. For some people, it's a physical activity, running. Maybe it's the sports that you're involved in or a hobby. You know, a lot of people like to draw or paint or write down in their journal if that's something that you do. But for me, I think one of the things that kind of helped me stay centered in myself was finding just one thing that was mine and something that really made me happy. The cool thing about music is that you can essentially listen to it everywhere. It's kind of an escape, and some people look at some of the things that I've chosen to be escape methods, but for me, that helped. And there's a number of reasons why that people latch onto certain things. I'm a pretty emotional person. You know, I don't just be standing in line at the DMV and start crying, even though I might be agitated that I'm standing in line for so long. But my point is that, at least for me, it was important to find something that I could relate to, that something that made me feel something. And I think that's one of the reasons why some people might consider music to be an escape, but that's perfectly fine, right? That's a healthy escape. Of course, unless you're listening to horrifically depressing music that's got terrible lyrics about, you know, committing suicide. But then I guess there's an argument to that, because some people really can connect with the lyrics that do talk about suicide. And maybe the song is about, you know, how rough life is. And that was just kind of the way the musician's way of expressing their feelings. The other thing is that, you know, again, some people get into making their own music or picking up an instrument. And I think that's very interesting, especially for me, because that was one of the things that I did. But I'll get to that in a minute. So the lyrics to the Our Lady Peace song and a lot of songs that people can listen to if you've turned to music is that not only does it make you feel something, it indirectly makes you connected to other people. And with that, that kind of gives you some, I don't know, some sense of non-loneliness, right? Because you might be the person at school who listens to the obscure bands, and that might make you unique. And while you're in school, or when you're in situations or around people that don't listen to the same type of music to you, that's kind of a way of you separating yourself from those other people. Yet it's still keeping you connected to the rest of the community that listens to that band or that type of music. And I think that that's great, because it indirectly is giving you connections to other people who share your same interest. The same thing with sports and things like that. I, however, can really only talk about being connected to music and being connected to movies, because that's kind of where I went. That was really what kind of let me find myself. And I'll explain why. I think finding an activity that gives you a feeling is spectacular because it's giving you a feeling that you can have at any time, right? Because you can watch a movie or listen to your favorite song or your favorite band or what have you at pretty much any time. And that can give you a feeling that you're looking for and make you feel humble. I remember I go to movies by myself, and my friends and other people I talk to think that that's funny or interesting, and I don't. And some people might even think that it's sad. But I go to movies for a couple of different reasons. One, if you think about it, when you go to movies with other people, you generally end up talking to that person in the movie. And in movies, you know, you don't really want to talk because you want to listen to what everybody's saying so that you can fully understand the story, the concept, or whatever, you know, happens to be up on the screen. But I like movies, and I realized this because when I was in high school, while I had a good amount of friends, of course, I wasn't part of the popular team, as quote-unquote what people might would consider them, and I had a lot of free time. My parents worked a lot, and of course, once I got my car, I had my own freedom, so I watched a lot of movies when I was at home, and I thought, well, I'll go and see what it's like to see a movie by myself. So the first movie that I ever saw by myself was in the early 90s, and it was Legends of the Fall. It's a great movie for a number of reasons, but for me, it was a couple of things, right? First, it was me overcoming what other people might think about me going to a movie by myself. Secondly, it allowed me to kind of overcome and face any fear I might have about a male adult going and seeing a movie or a dramatic movie. And at least for me, it was an amazing movie. Some people don't like it. You know, it's a 3-hour long movie. Oddly enough, my top three favorite movies are 3 hours long. But it allowed me to set aside all of my feelings and worries and everything else once the movie started, and I was less anxious sitting in there by myself. And I got to really experience this movie, and I didn't care about what other people thought. And it gave me a chance to get outside of my head and experience this other story. And it was, I don't, for me, it was profound. Of course, I didn't go on a Friday when it was packed. I went probably on a Tuesday or Wednesday sometime in the afternoon. And there, I think I may have been one of the only other people in there. And if you've ever seen the movie, it's, you know, it's a dramatic movie. It's an emotional movie. And for the first time, I felt like I could kind of let go. I mean, I probably cried 3 or 4 different times in that movie. And when I got done with the movie, it was, I don't know, probably one of the most interesting things that I'd ever done. I mean, and there's a lot of things that I've done, and I don't know if you consider it the most interesting to a lot of people, but for me, it was, because like I said, it allowed me to overcome a couple different feelings and anxieties that I had, and I had this most amazing experience, and it was mine. And it's not like I went to a concert by myself and then I could go brag to my friends that I was front row or I got to go see this concert that was sold out. It wasn't about bragging. It was about me. And at that time, I realized that happiness can come from within. Yes, it was an external source, right? The movie giving me the outlet and the feelings that I got from it. But It was my experience, and I didn't feel like that I had to go and tell anybody. And not that I was ashamed to go and tell anybody, because I did tell people, but it's not something like I bragged about. It was really a euphoric experience for me. And I think throughout my life that it's probably been one of the things that I do for myself. You know, I love movies. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of movies, and that's not for me to brag about. That's just, and a lot of those, the majority of those, probably 80 or 90% of those, I saw by myself, because it's about an experience that I get to have. And, you know, if I have friends of mine that want to go see it, then of course, you know, they'll go with me. But it was just that I found something that I loved. And no matter how bad of a day I was having, no matter, you know, if I got picked on or if things were said about me behind my back, I knew that there was something bigger in my life that could make me feel better. Music also does that for me. I remember the first time that I ever listened to Pink Floyd. And it's amazing, right? You know, a lot of people associate Pink Floyd with drugs and alcohol and things like that and psychedelic environments, but it's not. And the first time I listened to the music, it was about a feeling that it gave me inside, and it was interesting. It was new, but it just gave me a feeling that I never had. Just like watching Legends of the Fall by myself for the first time, it was a feeling that I never had, and I liked it. And so, you know, one of the things that I did, at least with Pink Floyd, is I like history. I like to learn about things, and a lot of people associate Pink Floyd in this example with drugs and things like that. And it's not, you know, it's really about change in life. And when Roger Waters began to write the lyrics, basically starting with The Wall, when he wrote the album The Wall, he also wrote, which I think is interesting. This is a bit of history, I guess. But he also wrote The Pros and Cons of Hitchhiking, which ended up being Roger Waters' first solo album when he left Pink Floyd in their departure in the mid-80s. But my point in this is, a lot of people know about Pink Floyd, The Wall. But what a lot of people don't know is that it's the entire concept was based upon Roger Waters' life experiences with his father. His father died in World War II, and this was just, I think it was World War II, but his father died in a war, and it was an experience that he had. And not every kid got to experience family loss. Don't get me wrong, a lot of people did, but he found a way to be able to express himself. And I think that's was really profound. It wasn't about how the music is psychedelic and things like that. It was about the raw nature of where it came from. And that's what's interesting to me about movies. It's about, you know, somebody has to sit down and write every single word and every single sentence of a movie. And it has to come from somewhere. And most of those are life experiences. And that goes along with movies and music in general. So I just use Pink Floyd as an example because that was for me. And I think that's why a lot of people, especially people who are depressed or feel alone, really attach themselves to movies and things like that, because it's really, it comes from somewhere unique and somewhere raw. And the fact that they can take this feeling and emotion and put it into music or lyrics or movie and words or poetry and things like that to affect somebody. And to me, that's just amazing. And so, you know, at least with Pink Floyd, it was very interesting to learn about the history of all the band members and, you know, where all of these drives kind of came from. And the other thing that I really liked is that, at least that I connected with Pink Floyd, was that David Gilmour, now the lead writer for the most part, and lead guitarist and singer, his music, his guitar solos are, at least to me, amazing. And when I say amazing, you know, a lot of people look at people who can play guitar very fast or can do a lot of tricks and things like that. And don't get me wrong, that's a talent within itself. But it doesn't portray anything other than talent. You know, if you take a look at like Eddie Van Halen, he's an incredible guitarist. And Joe Satriani and Steve I and people like this, Santana, people like that who can really, you know, do a lot of incredible things on a guitar. But what really connected with me other than the history and the feelings that came from a lot of the albums from Pink Floyd. Of course, this is prior to Syd Barrett for any of those who are Pink Floyd enthusiasts. David Gilmour's ability to put emotion into music for me was just profound. You know, if it wasn't about how cool he can make something sound. It was about how he could take his emotions. And if you've ever seen a video of any guitarist who has any emotions that they put in their guitar, Stevie Ray Vaughan, right? If you watch their faces, you can see that there's a feeling, whether it be pain or anger or something, but the fact that they can put it into something that other people can experience is just amazing. And a lot of what... Not a lot, but one of the things that helped me through my depression and my thoughts and my loneliness was that I was connected to music and to movies, and indirectly, I guess that puts me in connection with a community of other people, and it's amazing. And I bring this up because I think it's important for somebody to find something that they're passionate about. A lot of people find painting to be one of those things. And that, you know, a really big thing about art is the emotion and the raw emotion that they can put on a canvas or on a piece of paper. And if that's you, then that's fantastic. And it doesn't have to be about, you know, some people think, okay, they might start out as an artist, and a lot of people will tell them that they're good art and they should become an artist. And then they try to start a business or sell it, and then they become depressed that it's not successful. But it's not about what other people perceive of you. It's about how you perceive yourself and how you deal with everything that's in your life and how you handle it, and then how you can grow from it. So I think it's important to find something that you like, something that you love, and something that you're passionate about. And you might not have that right now, but if you think about it, when you think about bullies, for example, or people who talk down to other people, or people who make them feel minuscule, there's two different things that are happening in that type of person. One is they're connected to a community of other people who are like them. So they're able to feel the feelings that they have and feel okay about bullying other people because they're around other people who have those same feelings. The other thing is that most of the time, those people are going through the same things that you are. You know, you never really know what type of life somebody has at home. I think that was, like I said, I really wanted to start this after, well, I've wanted to start this forever, but one of the things that really drove me recently was seeing the 13 Reasons Why on Netflix, and I mentioned that in the first introduction video. And of course, this applies to a lot of movies, but the one thing about that series is just because it's so recent, you really get to see the inside of people's lives. And yes, while this is written, and yes, while this is, you know, supposed to be entertainment, it still comes from somewhere. And if you've taken a look, they actually have another video about the 13 Reasons Why that's kind of not behind the scenes, but behind the story and where it comes from. And one of the things that they really wanted to do was keep it raw and keep it real and keep it natural. So yes, it's entertainment in a form, but when you take a look at a lot of the characters in that movie or in that TV series or in other TV series or movies very similar, you never really understand the full reason why somebody acts the way they do, or why they're bullies or you know, why they want to call somebody out. 9 times out of 10, it's because they're scared. They, especially in high school and middle school, everybody's going through the same thing. Pretty much at the same time, their body's changing, they're getting hormones, you know, that becomes adolescence and things like that. They don't know how to deal with it. And they just happen to have a different group than you do. And I'm by no means, you know, saying that it's okay for them to be like that and act like that. I'm just saying that, oddly enough, they're going through the same things that you are. They are just finding negative people to hang around with, or negative ways to, I don't know, push that onto other people, such as bullying and cyberbullying. But at some point in life, if not every day, a lot of people are scared for one reason or another. It's really about finding a way to overcome that, those fears and that scaredness. So talking about those type of people who are bullies and cyberbullies and people who like to put people down and everything else, kind of like the show, their lives aren't necessarily what they think that they are, what they pretend that they are, because oftentimes it's not. It's they're suffering the same things that you are. It's just extremely unfortunate that they are projecting that on other people. And it's horrible. And the thing about it is that if you're one of those victims, you don't know what they're going through. You don't know why they're acting like that. And of course they're not going to tell you because they're putting a guard down, but it's really comes from an insecure place. So with that in mind, understanding, or at least having an idea that nobody's life is perfect. No family is perfect. Everybody has problems. It's just that there are certain people out there who can express their feelings in a positive way, or they feel like, you know, they might be picked on by their friends and who they hang out with. You know, why show compassion for somebody and be ridiculed by the people you hang out with? You know, it takes a strong person to do that, and not many people do, which is a shame because they affect so many people in such a negative way. And it's horrible. So part of me saying this is about kind of understanding where they're coming from. And of course, I'll go into this in more detail, but in another video, but it's you're not alone. And a lot of that is coming from the person who's making you feel alone or out of place, or that you dress weird, or your hair's weird, or you're too short or too skinny or too fat, you know, too ugly, whatever it might be. It's that person is insecure about something, and they are trying to find a way to make themselves feel better by making somebody else feel worse. And it's bad. Especially when you're in a place that seems so low already. I'll give you an example. I grew up in another state and then moved to a new state when in seventh grade. And of course, in middle school, being a new person is extremely hard. And every state is different. People are different. Cities within the same state are very, very different. So me coming from a different state into a completely new place, not knowing anybody, not knowing anything, to be honest, it was very difficult. And I learned that in the school that I went to, in the area that I moved to, everybody was big on being a show-off. You know, the shoes you wore, the clothes you wore, the brands you wore, the sunglasses you wore, you know, where you went and hung out after school. And it was a materialistic environment, which was new to me because the state that I came from was different because, I don't know, I guess I was around the same type of people. I went to school with the same type of people. And in a new state, in a new school, even within the same state, it's very different. And it was interesting because everybody was about materialistic things and about how much money, you know, their parents made. And what I learned later in life is that I didn't, just because I went to this new school and people were picking on me, my parents all of a sudden didn't say, well, we're going to go, you know, buy you these clothes and make you fit in. it wasn't like that because they saw the bigger picture in life. Of course, I didn't understand it at the time, and of course, I got angry because I didn't want to live through that every single day. But as I got older, I realized that, of course, it was a good thing that they did. But I learned that we had, this is terrible to say, but we had more money than probably all the kids combined in school that wanted to be showy and materialistic. Now, the reason I say this is because I didn't know. You know, as a kid, we don't think about money. We just know that we need to buy stuff, and parents have money, and they might give it to you. They might not. You might have a job, and you earn the money. You know, whatever the form or fashion is, but it was interesting to learn later. How much money my family had, because it didn't matter what I was going through at the time in middle school, because nothing changed. You know, when we moved here, we moved into an apartment. My parents have never been showy. We didn't have spectacular cars. We had like a Nissan Altima. No, it wasn't even an Altima. It was a Nissan Sentra. And this is a Nissan Sentra in the late 80s, early 90s. So it's, you know, and it was a cloth interior, and our family only had one car, and, you know, we didn't, there wasn't anything that showed me that we had money, and my life didn't change. But in high school, middle school, I got picked on because I didn't have the same clothes and the same brands that these other people had. So as I got older, and even though, of course, it was difficult to go through, but as I got older, I realized that if I knew that we had money, and if my parents had changed to buy me everything to be cool like everybody else, I wouldn't be me, and people would like me for false reasons. And that's why in the first video I say you don't need to change, because you don't. And when you get older, you learn about people and about life, and hopefully some of these things that I can educate you on. It doesn't matter. Those people in middle school don't matter to me today. They didn't after I left the school. Just like high school. Yes, you know, there's two people that I talked to that I went to high school with because they were close friends of mine. And my point in saying this is, just because people are mean to you today, this year, next year, or until you graduate or move schools, for the rest of your life, those people won't matter. So while you get picked on today, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. And yes, it's terrible and it's horrible to have to live with ridicule for today and tomorrow and what goes on in social media and things like that. But overall in life, it doesn't matter, because those people don't matter. It's not like they're going to be around you, following you every day of the rest of your life, ridiculing you and embarrassing you, because they won't. And it might not seem like that now, because you're so immersed in the experience of school or your environment, but it doesn't. And that's one of the things that I hope will drive people to not consider doing anything drastic to their lives or themselves, because as you get older and things change, those people don't matter anymore. Yes, they will shape you and your emotions and the way that you feel about people in life, but that's a growing experience. It's not a reason to end something that's so amazing. And, you know, just so you know, I don't think life is amazing because our family had money, because I didn't get to experience any of that. And I can talk about, I'll talk about that later in another video. It's, It's just amazing how life turns out. It truly is. And if there's anything that I can do, and I'm hoping that talking like this helps somebody, that to me, that's the most important thing, because life is so, so different than what it is and what you're experiencing now. So I hope you continue to listen, and I hope in some way or another that this can help you realize, or at least have a different perspective on how things are. And in the first video, and in this video, I'll go into more detail on a lot of the things that I've talked about, but just know that everybody around you is experiencing the same thing. They just don't express it in the same way. And it's unfortunate that some people express that on other people. So find a happiness. Find your movie, find your band, find your art, find your drawing, find something that makes you feel something, not because somebody else likes it, but because you like it. When I was listening to Pink Floyd, nobody around me listened to it. And it wasn't because that wasn't one of the things that drove me. It was because it was something that I truly loved. And same thing with movies. Nobody at my age, and even today when I tell people my favorite movie is Legends of the Fall or Titanic or Meet Joe Black or, you know, something along those lines, that's me, because that's something that I genuinely feel and something that I genuinely appreciate. And it's something that I hope that you can find too. And maybe I can help figure that out. Or listening to this will make you think of something that you didn't, or try something new that you might like. But at 32 minutes, I think that's enough. I appreciate you listening. I hope that this helps someone. So thank you. Bye for now.